You're listening to Clinical Conversations. I'm Joe Elia. JAMA Internal Medicine last week published an analysis of magnetic resonance imaging's role in breast cancer screening. The researchers looked at a large group of women from six U.S. cancer registries. They were investigating biopsy rates and cancer findings in the 90 days after screening with mammography alone versus screening with MRI with or without mammography. Our guest is Dr. Diana Buist, lead author on the JAMA Internal Medicine Report. Dr. Buist is senior investigator and director of research and strategic partnership at Kaiser Permanente Washington Health Research Institute. Welcome to Clinical Conversations, Dr. Buist.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's establish some facts first. Is it safe to say that MRI gives a finer detailed look at breast tissue than traditional mammography?
The evidence certainly suggests, and the images suggest, that is the case. What's not as clear with MRI is what the harms and benefits of those more detailed images are for the general population.
And is it more expensive than mammography, generally speaking?
Yes, it's more expensive than mammography, quite a bit more expensive.
Quite a bit. Okay. All right. So having established that, what were you trying to find out with this study?
So, I mean, I think it's important to just comment on two things. One is that we looked at both women that have never had a history of breast cancer and also women that have had a personal history of breast cancer. And the reason for that is that mammography, although it is the only recommended screening instrument for both of those women on a population level, it's imperfect. And obviously women that have had a personal history of breast cancer have slightly different backgrounds, risk factors, and things for second cancers, and undergo a lifetime of surveillance on their remaining healthy breast tissue. So we did look at those populations differently because they have different underlying risk, and they also have different rates of use of MRI. So I just wanted to point that out as we head into this conversation.
So you examined about 2 million screenings of mammography and MRI, and most the MRIs, there weren't a lot of MRIs done. There were about 8,500, according to my rough estimates, of screenings alone. I guess those 8,500 people had MRIs alone, not necessarily with mammography. Is that?
That's right. That's right.
And of those people, I was about 60% of those MRIs were in women with no personal history of breast cancer.
That's right, and it should be just stated that in total, just under 1.95 million women were women without a history of breast cancer. So the vast majority of the population in our study were women without a history of breast cancer. Just about 105,000 women had a history of breast cancer, and 3,763 of those women had MRI. So although it's a larger proportion of women without a history of breast cancer that had an MRI, it was a much smaller proportion of women without a history of breast cancer that had an MRI.
Okay. And I'm going to try to, even though I'm the one who introduced the numbers to the conversation, I'm going to try to steer away from the numbers because as I was reading your paper, and I've read it a few times now, the numbers can be overwhelming. Of course, that's the genius of your paper is that it is all about the numbers and you're following them, but they're hard to communicate to listeners. So, let's talk about just in generalities now. The main findings, as I understand it, were that the biopsy rates more than doubled after an MRI screening compared with mammography in women with a personal history of breast cancer.
That's correct. And what was consistent with the findings is that screening MRIs were associated with a higher risk of having a biopsy in women with and without a personal history of breast cancer. And in fact, in women without a history of breast cancer, it was fivefold higher.
Yeah. Why were the biopsy rates higher in women without a personal history? Just because it was ductal carcinomas in situ were being discovered for the first time, or?
Yeah, so that's a good question. I mean, what we expected to find is we expected that there would be higher biopsy rates following an MRI because it's more sensitive. So as you said, you can see the tissue more. You would be able to find more abnormalities that might need biopsying compared to mammography. And also a positive finding on a mammogram can be resolved with subsequent diagnostic mammography and or ultrasound. And positive screening MRIs are really resolved with either a short interval follow-up MRI or a biopsy. So we did expect to find more biopsies following the MRI. What we didn't expect to find was that the rate of invasive and ductal carcinoma in situ results following those more invasive biopsies were lower. In other words, not just that they had more biopsies, but actually the cancer yield and actionable findings were lower in the biopsies that followed the MRI.
I would interpret that to mean as more MRIs were done, you call it wastefully, or were done with no benefits than were mammographies.
Yeah, I think this is where it gets a little tricky, both for clinicians and women and radiologists, because you know there is not entire agreement upon it, just because a biopsy was done and no cancer was found. There's not full agreement that in fact is a harm for a woman because something was seen that was abnormal, and therefore there was a check to see whether there was an abnormality that was something that needed clinically actionable, clinical action on it. And so, you know, it's a tough thing to say these are all harms of, and they were inappropriate. I think the term inappropriate biopsies, we were very careful not to use that term because of this issue around the inability to define what is appropriate or is not appropriate. Because again, if something's seen on an image, there may be this need to check into that further.
No, I mean, as you say, it's a complicated question. There's more than just a couple of dimensions to this thing that we're looking at.
Yeah, I think what is important for women and providers is to understand that that still MRI is not being, there's a lot of reports that MRI use is taking off like crazy, like wildfire in the United States. And, you know, our data really suggests that that's not happening. And our data come from 139 community and academic-based radiology facilities across the United States that participate in the Breast Cancer Surveillance Consortium. So these are reflective of the U.S. population and practices that are happening in the country. So a lot of women believe that MRI, and I'm not going to speak so much for providers, but there's a lot of suggestion that MRI, because it's so sensitive and sees tissue at such a granular level, that it's going to be better and a better screening test for women. And the fact is that we don't know a lot in community practice in women of different risk levels of age, breast density, risk factors, that we don't know how well it works in outside of big clinical trials, which have predominantly been in high-risk individuals. So our research really is designed to provide information for women and providers to understand the risk and benefit of breast MRI compared to mammography in women with and without a personal history of breast cancer, and also importantly by individual risk levels, which we haven't talked about yet, but I think it is important to highlight our figure that we provide in our paper around figure two, which really clearly depicts very different rates of biopsy in mammography alone and in breast MRI based on a woman's risk level. The way that this should be viewed is it's a direct comparison of rates of biopsy between low-risk women that undergo mammography only versus magnetic resonance imaging. And so you can see that the rate is significantly higher at each risk level. Of course, the MRI error bars are bigger because there are smaller numbers in the MRI group. And yes, they do overlap between low, average, intermediate, and very high. And that what that suggests is that the rates of biopsy are higher regardless of risk, but also in a direct comparison of risk level, they're significantly and higher, both clinically and statistically higher across risk level compared to mammography alone.
One of the things I noticed as I was rereading the paper is that the MRI screenings tended to be among those who had a first degree relative with breast cancer history. And that was especially true in women without a personal history of breast cancer themselves. So it sounded to me that it could be a matter of worried people, you know, with a sister or a mother with breast cancer, saying I'd better go get myself the best, the best
test. Yeah. So national guidelines from the American Cancer Society, the American College of Radiology, and the National Comprehensive Cancer Network recommend breast MRI, but only in subgroups of women based on their breast cancer risk factors and including their lifetime risk of breast cancer. So it's not surprising that we're seeing women with a first-degree family history and maybe other risk factors associated with higher breast cancer risk that are undergoing MRI. And that's exactly why we wanted to compare, you know, maybe it was all the super high-risk women that were having these MRIs that were going on to have biopsy. And that's the importance of figure two in the paper, which clearly demonstrates that, as you would expect, as you have higher risk, your risk of having a biopsy is greater, and that's in mammography, but also regardless of your risk, the biopsy rates were higher. So it wasn't simply limited to the highest risk women, which is what we might have guessed, is that those were the ones that they were seeing more abnormalities on, that they were acting on.
So what is the general impression that you want to leave readers with? Is it that the guidelines, first of all, as you said, the kind of rumor going around that MRIs are being wildly overused is not something that you've seen. But secondly, that the guidelines for use of MRI seem to you to be appropriate. Do we still have a lot to learn about when and when not to use MRI?
I think we do have more to learn about when to use MRI and in whom and on what sort of timing. And this is particularly an issue for women that, for example, have a higher likelihood of having cancers not detected by mammography. So, you know, importantly, among women with a personal history of breast cancer, 35% of women that go on to have a second cancer are not detected by mammography. So, you know, there are groups of women for whom we are concerned about the type of screening that they're getting and surveillance that they're getting. And I think, you know, the main message from us is that, you know, first of all, we want to get this information into the hands of healthcare providers that are counseling women about different breast cancer screening strategies. so that women and their providers will know what to expect about the different modalities. And also that, you know, if women choose to include, to receive an MRI, that they have a higher likelihood of undergoing a core or surgical breast biopsy that's significantly higher than if they have a mammogram alone. And also that they have a lower likelihood of having clinical actionable findings. And I think those things are pieces of information that, that don't really exist in other papers that have been published, particularly in these groups of women in the general population outside of clinical trials.
So if you were to say, what would you like clinicians to do differently next week from what they're doing this week, would you say that communicate with the patient what you've just said, that if you have an MRI, it's more likely that you'll find something on the MRI, but it's less likely that that finding will be actionable.
And that women will undergo or have a much higher likelihood of undergoing an invasive biopsy that is not without risk and that is not without anxiety for the women as well. I mean, leaving the cost aside to the healthcare system, I think, you know, when we start talking about cost in breast cancer screening, it's a very charged topic because, you know, everybody knows somebody that's had breast cancer, everybody knows somebody that's died of breast cancer, and everybody knows somebody for whom screening has failed them. And it's a very, very charged conversation in the United States. So, you know, we didn't talk at all about, you know, specifically about the cost associated with these different strategies. When you say, is there more to do? You know, I think that our findings really support the need to define and identify the appropriate selection of women for MRI screening so that we can minimize the harms in women that are at low risk for breast cancer and for whom mammography doesn't work.
Okay.
So, you know, I think that there is more work to do, and we have a program project funded by the National Cancer Institute, and we are working on those areas because I think that is the direction that we need to be able to really identify women for whom mammography won't work or doesn't work as well.
Yeah. All right. Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us today, Dr. Buist.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. I've enjoyed the conversation, Joe, and I appreciate the opportunity to get this important work into the hands of people that can use it, because ultimately it's all about the translation component of this research.
That was our 216th edition. All earlier conversations may be found at podcasts.jwatch.org. We come to you from NEJM Journal Watch. Kristen Kelly is the executive producer here for the NEJM Group. I'm Joe Elia. Thank you for listening.